We ask again, Lord, teach us how to pray. As we spent these last several weeks going over the Lord's Prayer, I shared with you the opening week that I perhaps have led this prayer. I've tried to calculate 4,000 to 5,000 times in worship. As we've dug deeper in this study, I've gained great new insights into the Lord's Prayer, and I hope you have as well. Last week, Nick did a great job teaching us about forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The relational part of the prayer, how forgiveness here with God relates to our forgiveness with others out there. Today, we're going to look at the directional part of the prayer. Lord, lead us. Lord, lead us. Say that with me. Lord, lead us. God wants to show us the direction that we need to live our lives. Lord, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Dallas Willard said it this way, Lord, spare us from the bad things that might happen to us. Jesus is inviting us to pray to escape trials, escape temptations, escape testing, bad things that could happen and challenge our faith. Now, temptation can mean to be tempted to do something that crosses a moral line, to steal or to lie or to cheat or to lust, to break one of the Ten Commandments. But temptation can also be more subtle. We can be tempted to take the easy way out rather than the right way. We can be tempted to do what's best for me and not what's important. Be tempted to do what I've always done, or be tempted to do nothing at all. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lord, help us to recognize temptation. Lord, help us to see temptation and deliver us from evil. Teddy Roosevelt had a small, feisty dog that was always getting into fights. And this dog of President Roosevelt's lost every fight. And one day, one of his advisors said, Mr. President, your dog is not a very good fighter. To which Roosevelt said, no, he's a very good fighter. He's just not a good judge of dogs. He always underestimates his adversary. He always underestimates his adversary. Jesus is teaching us to pray so we won't underestimate temptation. So we won't underestimate the evil that we need to be delivered from. So I would say to you this morning, you need to know your adversary. We have a very real and powerful adversary. Ever since the Garden of Eden, evil has been conspiring to destroy us. We live in a world where we perceive that we're too sophisticated to believe in a devil, to believe in evil. We're too advanced for that, and we have a lot of people that have the wool pulled over their eyes about evil. I want you to know this morning that evil is powerful. The enemy we face, the adversary, is bigger, stronger, and smarter than anybody in this room. Know your adversary. This adversary will use distraction to take your focus off your relationship with God. He will try to distract you from having a walk with God. He will try to distract you from your relationship with your spouse, distract you from your relationship with your children, distract you from your relationship with your family. And he's good at it. This adversary will use division and discord to get us to focus on our differences rather than on our unity. And we see that happen all the time in the church, in the body of Christ, where he uses division to weave its way and cause disunity in the church. This adversary will use accusation, accuse you of not being worthy of God's love, accuse you of really messing up this time. There's no hope for you. Know your adversary. This Satan, this devil, tempts us to make us worse. Know that. His strategy is never make you better, even though he'll promise things will be better. It's always to make you worse. It is to steal your faith. It is to cause us to fail. Know your adversary. Know his strategy. His strategy is pretty evident. And there's three things I want to give you about his strategy this morning. The first is presentation. He makes a really good presentation. I've learned through the years that to be successful at fishing, you got to be able to make a good presentation of a bait. You got to put that bait in the right place at the right time and make it do the right thing. If you can make the presentation right and the hooks are hidden, 9 times out of 10, you're going to catch a fish. Now, you may not catch it, you're going to hook a fish, but how about that? You're going to hook a fish. And see, Satan is the same way. He's good at presentation. He makes things look so good, so tasty, so important, but you can't see the hook. And then when you dive in, you will find out that you're hooked. You see, the evil one will tempt us by taking away our shame. Billions of dollars are spent in advertising in this country to take away our shame. There are things that we see on our TVs today that we would never dreamt of seeing just 20 years ago. There are things that we hear that we just ignore because he has taken away our shame. His presentation. And then once we take the hook and we fail and we fall, then he makes us ashamed that we can't come back. So he uses shame to get us to take the bait, and then once we take the bait, he uses shame to keep us from coming back to God. Know his presentation. Know that he uses persuasion. He will persuade. Now, I don't believe that the evil one can force you into sin, but he can talk you into sin. And some of us know what that's like, to get talked into sin. It sounds so good. It even makes a lot of sense. Remember what Scripture says, that God uses the things of the foolish to confound the wise? So watch out for the persuasion, the conversation, the rationalization that we tend to make. Then thirdly, know this, that he persists. He won't give up. He won't give up. He persists. It'll be for our entire life. We always need to be on guard and never, ever underestimate your adversary. These words to Cain in Genesis at the beginning of the Bible, it can be bright with joy if you will do what you should. But if you refuse to obey, watch out. Sin is waiting to attack you. Sin is waiting to hook you, longing to destroy you. Good news, though, but you can conquer it with God's help. And these words from John 10:10, sort of been my theme verse through all the years of ministry. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Make no mistake about it. Know your adversary. His purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. To steal a whole nation. To steal a whole people. To steal a whole church. To steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Know your adversary. But I want you to hear this morning. Know your ally. If God is for you, who can be against you? When we ask God to lead us, we ask God to deliver us, we're acknowledging that God is stronger than any adversary. I want you to take the power of evil seriously, but not too seriously. Why? Because even though evil is real and evil is powerful, Jesus' victory over evil is also real and powerful. We serve a victorious Lord who defeated evil. When we look to the cross where evil was defeated, we can find courage to hold on for another moment. Hold on for another hour. Hold on for another day against the onslaught of evil. Know your ally, that if God is for you, nothing can be against you. Know with the Apostle Paul that you can say, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. The scriptures are clear that God is our ally and that God does not lead us into temptation. God is not the source of temptation. He is the solution to temptation. James 1 says it this way, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you're being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. Know your ally in Almighty God in a world of temptation. Now, temptation here in this prayer can also mean testing. We live in a world of testing and trials and tribulation. Testing relates more to our faith and how we handle the tests, the trials, the tribulations, the temptations. How we handle the problems, how we handle the pain, how we handle people that are problems and painful. Testing. You know, I love to fish, and one of the first lessons you need to learn about fishing is this. You need to find and purchase the right kind of fishing line. And when you go and buy a fishing line, it'll say on the box that it's been tested. And if it says it is 6-pound test line, you can be pretty certain that it's going to be able to catch a fish up to at least 6 pounds if you have your drag set right and the rod action is right. It's the maker of the line has tested it. And you can be pretty sure that it's going to hold up to 6 pounds of force. Now, I would suggest to you that you not take 6-pound test line into the ocean, because more than likely you're going to hook up with something that's going to take away whatever bait you got, because 6-pound line test is not enough. When I get home from buying a box of fishing line, I don't test it. I trust that the maker has already tested it and it's going to work for me. You need to trust that God, your maker, will test you so that you can have confidence in the midst of trials. Because we're going to live in a world of trials. We live in a world of testing. We live in a world of temptation. And we have a God who wants to test us to give us confidence. So God always allows tests to grow our confidence. He wants you to have confidence. When you look back over your life, can't you look back and see how God brought you through the test? And you have confidence to go forward. He also tests us to grow our faith. And he also tests us to grow our character. Character is grown in the midst of testing. A wise old Chinese man said to a young Christian, a man's faith is like a tea bag. It's only in hot water that it shows its true color. Testing. Know your adversary. Know your ally. And then this is very important. Know your avenues of escape. Know your avenues of escape. What do I mean by that? Again, the scripture reading that Martha read for us is 1 Corinthians 10. No temptation has taken you except what is common to man. God is faithful and will not permit you to be tempted above what you can endure, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. That's good news, is it not? That God will make a way of escape. And so when you're tempted and you fail, you can't say, I had no choice. You always have a choice. Well, I couldn't resist. Well, yes, you could. God says, I will make a way of escape if you will look to me. Now, I want to give you 4 avenues this morning of escape when it comes to temptation. The first is this, it's perspective avenue. No one is immune from temptation. You need to know that this morning. No one is immune from temptation. And let me just say this about perspective. Temptation is not sin. Can we be clear on that? Temptation is not sin. Temptation always involves a choice. Yes or no? It's your choice. It's my choice. I believe the power of temptation lies solely in the false hope of happiness. Why is temptation powerful? Because it promises us happiness. And I believe in the absence of joy in our lives, the effect is making sinful actions seem good. When there's an absence of joy in our life, we are more prone to think that sin is good, and we think that it'll give us happiness. It's very important that we find joy in our lives. One of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Lynn and I have talked about this a lot, that as we have, we'll be married 39 years this December. And the importance of us to have joy in our marriage. That we would have the joy of the Lord in our lives, and we would enjoy each other. And when we enjoy each other, it gives us an insulation against temptation. It doesn't make us immune from temptation, but it gives us some insulation because we really enjoy each other. Just this past week, we got to go up to Sheely's Barbecue with some friends, and we rode in a 56 Buick that had been perfectly restored. We had a great time going up there. Just enjoyed that time together. And I found out what a 455 is. It's four windows going 55 miles an hour is the air conditioning, right? 455. But we enjoyed our time together, and we have, through the years, we've enjoyed our time. Last week we were in Kentucky, or 2 weeks ago we were in Kentucky, and got to go visit with some friends that we did ministry with. And we sat around for 3 days reminiscing 3 years of ministry together with those couples. Five couples who started out in ministry together, all five of us still married, all five of us still in ministry, all five of us having joy in our lives. And when we went to my dad's house for a couple of days, Lynn was looking through some pictures and found this picture of us in 1976. I started enjoying, we started enjoying each other in 1976. Isn't that great? Pastor Brian pointed this out to me, that there's something in this picture that's the same today. And that's the only thing that's the same today. Anybody see what it is? There's something that's the same today in this picture. Well, actually, there's two things, because somebody pointed this out to me after the last service. But first of all, it's the Coca-Cola emblem, right? Coca-Cola still uses the same emblem that they used 40 years ago. And then somebody pointed out to me, is I tend to do this a lot, right? You know, and so I didn't even register that. But the hair is not the same. My figure is not the same, I'll say that. And but the joy is the same. The same joy we had 40 years ago, we have today. And I just want to tell you that perspective is very important when it comes to resisting temptation. It's a very important avenue. The second avenue I want to give you is promises. God's word, a promise, is an avenue of escape. Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There are times when temptation comes knocking at our door that we need to rely on God's word, God's promises. We know that Jesus defeated every temptation and every test with proper knowledge of God's word. He knew when the evil one was trying to deceive him, trying to twist scripture. And pay attention to that, is that evil and others will use scripture to confuse you and misuse scripture and take it out of context. It's the proper use of God's promises that will be an avenue of escape. I love that God promises in his word to always provide a way of escape. There's always a way of escape. One of my favorite days fishing was down on the coast, and we were fishing for redfish, and I was blessed to be invited to go on a trip with a guide, and we're fishing for redfish, and we go out into this big creek and a big bay, and we get back in the back of this bay, and the guide says, now we need to wait a few minutes because the fish haven't shown up yet. And we kept waiting and waiting, and the water kept dropping and dropping. And he says, in just a few more minutes, the fish are going to be here. And the water kept dropping and getting lower and lower. And then he says, all right, here they come. Then all of a sudden, all these redfish came piling out. And let me just confess that while I was going in there, I was putting little pins in my phone so I could find my way back to this place, right? You've done that, right? Go ahead and tell you, you've done that. So anyway, so I'm there. I'm thinking, hey, I can come back to this place. And we caught fish for like 20 minutes, just one after the other. Fish were everywhere. But the guide, I kept noticing, he kept sticking his fish, a rod in the water. And I looked around, and we were just about out of water. and the water was almost gone. He said, we got to go. I mean, fish were everywhere. He said, we got to go. And I looked around, he cranked the motor up, and out we went, this little tiny creek about that wide. And he knew the way of escape. He knew how to get out of that creek. And then I knew I could never go back there because I didn't know how to get out of there. And I'd get stuck there and couldn't get out. You see, when you feel stuck and you feel there's no way out, God says, I will always give you a way of escape. It will usually come through his word, through his promises, through his presence, but he will make a way of escape. The third avenue is the avenue of prevention. We need to watch and pray so we don't fall into temptation. Prevention. We could call that avenue prayer. A child came out after the service and said, hey, you need to use another P, prayer. But prevention, watch and pray. And sometimes the best prayer we can pray is what? Help. Help. We fall for the schemes of evil because we're not prepared. That's why it's so difficult for us to stay focused in prayer, because the evil one is trying to distract us. It's why it's so hard to stay consistent in a devotion life, because we get distracted. Because once we're prepared, we can handle the temptations that will come our way. So know your avenues of escape: perspective, promises, prevention. And finally this morning, let me give you this very important avenue: people. People. The Lord, when Jesus taught us to pray, he said, pray this way: lead us not into temptation. You see, when we stand alone, we are no match for the powers of evil. But when we come together in community to pray and study God's word and learn together, we find help and we find accountability. We need each other to break free from habits, to break free from hang-ups, to break free from hurts. And I love having you guys and gals and ladies and men and women and children and youth in pews. But that's not how we're meant to live out our Christian life, in pews. We need to get in circles where we can pray together and read God's word together and be in small group together and Sunday school class together and Bible study together, because that's where you're going to find help. It's really hard to be a Christian on an island. It's really hard to defeat evil by yourself. So let me encourage you to make sure you get connected with others and that you'll come alongside others. We need accountability. We need a friend who checks on us. We need a friend that we can check on. Ecclesiastes 4 says it this way: two are better than one, because together, if one falls down, the other can help him up. But if somebody is alone and he falls, if somebody is alone and he fails, there's no one there to help him up. We need each other. It's one of the avenues of escape that God provides. Robert Robinson was a wild teenager back in the 1700s, if you can be wild in the 1700s. But you know, there's been wildness since the beginning, right? Since evil entered the Garden of Eden. But he became a follower of Jesus at 20 years old. He went on to become a pastor, Robert Robinson did, and he wrote some hymns. And one of my favorite hymns he penned, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." What a great hymn that is. "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy, never ceasing. Come thou fount of every blessing." Then he wrote these words in his hymn: "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Temptation." Well, later in life, Robert Robinson left the Lord. He wandered away, and for 30 years, he lived apart from his faith. He felt so ashamed and so lost that he could not return to God. And the story goes that he was riding in a stagecoach in despair, in distress, depressed about his life. And there was a young woman in that stagecoach that was reading poetry. And she saw his condition, and she read, not knowing who he was, not knowing his journey, not knowing his story, she read the words of "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." And he replied, "I am the poor, wretched, unhappy man who wrote those words. I would give 1,000 worlds if I could find what I had back then." And this young woman said these words to him: "Sir, the streams of mercy are still flowing. The streams of mercy are still flowing." So today, If you have wandered away from the Lord, you've fallen for the schemes of the evil one, you've allowed testing to drive you away from God or away from fellowship or away from the church, away from a group, away from a class, the streams of mercy are still flowing. God's mercy is here for you today. God's grace is here. Father God, we thank you that you love us, that you provide a way of escape. You provide for us grace and mercy. I pray that right now, as we prepare to receive this holy sacrament, that we'll be reminded of how much you love us. Lord, for that person who feels totally lost here today, may they know that there is a way out and that you will take their hand and lead them into grace and mercy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.